Welcome to the Pageant Masterclass, How to Win a Pageant. I'm Ashley Williams-Allen. Let's get started. I am so excited today because we have with us Miss USA 2009, Kristen Dalton. Well, now Kristen Dalton Wolf. I met Kristen, 15 years ago in LA at a Bible study. And she is truly an incredible woman. She is a board-certified mental health and professional life coach who has coached and mentored hundreds of girls. She's an author. She's the host of the Kristen Dalton Wolf Show on Liftable TV. She's a wife. She's a mom. She truly does it all. And I'm so happy to have her with us today. Kristen, thank you for being here. Oh my gosh, there is so much that I want to talk to you about. Okay, can we please start just with your personal pageant journey? That moment that they called your name and put the crown on your head as Miss USA, what was that moment like?
I feel like people always use the word surreal. And so, I mean, in one sense, it was surreal because it was a childhood dream for me. Since I was 3 years old, I always just in the back of my mind was like, I'm going to be Miss USA one day. But then there's that journey in between where I did local pageants and some festival pageants and didn't win them. So you're just kind of like, well, if I can't win the Spot Festival Princess pageant, how are we going to win USA, you know? but it's just, you have that inner belief, or I have that inner belief. And I think we all do, like that still small voice that's like, no, you're made for more. And this is your training ground. And so when it actually happened, when I'm just used to being a runner up all the time, like you win the big thing, like the thing you really want, it's like, whoa. I think it's just even that validation of that small voice and the fact that you listened to it and you believed it. And I felt like for me, it was like, wow, I can really trust that voice. I can really trust God.
Absolutely. So, well, I would love to talk about that. So for the girls who've been competing in pageants, you know, for years, and they are struggling to keep going, or they're disappointed or frustrated with the process, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think it's important to focus on how you're growing through the process. It can't always be about the results. I feel like I was lucky in the sense that it did happen for me, but it's not always going to happen in the way that you want or the way that you think, you know. And I have a lot of clients who have that dream and that goal. And when they compete, they'll say things to me like, I feel it. Like, I feel like this is my year. And then it doesn't happen. And so then you're like, okay, how do you reconcile that? And that was my sister's story. My sister, Julia, she's a few years younger than me. She was successful in pageants before I was. But she competed for Miss USA 6 years later. She didn't make the top 15. And during rehearsals, she would text me and be like, oh, the music changed to my favorite song when it was time for me to walk out. And so it sort of feels like you're almost like looking for God winks along the way. And you're making meaning out of these God winks to mean, oh, it must be my year, or it must be, you know, meant for me. And I think instead what's most helpful is to see those God winks as, hey, I'm with you. You're where you're supposed to be. Don't make it mean something that you don't know, because ultimately, like in pageants, so much is out of your control. All you can control is you and yourself and the growth along the way. So I would say to focus on the process, let that be the winning. And let the God winks, don't let it like make you feel resentful when you don't get what you want. Instead, let it be magical. Let it be like this beautiful journey where you're like, wow, like look how God is with me, regardless of the outcome. Otherwise, you're going to get jaded.
Yes. I love that so much, because I feel like so often, just in life in general, not just in pageants, we can see those God winks as like, oh my gosh, this happened, so this is definitely going to work out for me. And you're so right that it's so much more about he's with you and you're on the right path. And just because that path doesn't culminate in winning the title, that doesn't mean that everything you've learned and experienced along the way isn't going to be so beneficial to whatever the next thing is. Okay, one thing that's actually been beneficial to me has been judging pageants, because you really see things from a different perspective. And let me tell you, I so wish I could have judged a pageant while I was competing, because on the other side of things, you really understand it is so much about a contestant being totally confident and comfortable in who she is. So with that in mind, what has been your takeaway on this side of it? What do you think is most important for contestants to know when it comes to competing?
Two things. The first one is self-discovery sets you free. When you know who you are and you're very like sure in the unique qualities that you have to offer and you own them versus compare them, it's going to give you this sense of freedom and a relaxed presence when you walk in the room. I think a lot of times like comparison gets in our way because we don't really know who we are and we're not owning it. So we're just like looking at all the other people and thinking like, oh, she's really good at this, or she is wearing this. Should I be wearing that? But when you have this like sense of, oh no, these are the unique qualities that I have. I'm not this like extroverted girl. I'm more introverted, and that's okay. That's actually what makes me a really good listener and what makes me a really good leader. Then you can lean into that instead of thinking like, shoot, should I be more bubbly? Should I be more outgoing? And then you're in your head the whole time. So that's the first thing is self-discovery. And then the second thing is taking the judges off the pedestal. You know, like I think we just get the sense of intimidation when we're walking into the room because we're approaching the interview as sort of this drill and we're on the defense and we think we have to prove ourselves. So if you walk in the room instead flipping the narrative as, no, I'm here to bless the judges, it changes your energy and the way that you operate in the room.
Yes, 100%. That was one of my biggest takeaways. Most recently in judging at the Miss South Carolina pageant, I can tell you wholeheartedly, the entire judging panel was there rooting for every girl that walked into the room. We really wanted every girl to do well. But it's like you can only understand that perspective on this side of it, you know? So having learned so much through the years, what is something you really wish you could go back and say to yourself when you were competing?
That when the formers and the directors are telling you during pageant weekend to have fun, like that's actual good advice. So for me, like when I heard people talk about that, I just thought like, okay, having fun is for the non-winners, you know, like that's what you do when you're not here to win. So I was just really serious. And now I realize like having fun is the key, actually, like the actual key to sparkle and to have that radiant presence. Like if you're not having fun on stage, no one's having fun watching you. And if you're having fun, that means you've gotten to a place in your preparation where you don't have to be in your head anymore. I think that would be the advice. And so for me, like, I mean, I love being on stage. That is fun for me. So like, I really enjoyed that part, but I would say like during rehearsals and in the process, I was really serious and in my head. And I would want to engage more, like make friends.
Yeah. No, 100%.
That's important.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you are a queen, then you're a queen all the time and you're seeing the people around you and you're engaging with the people around you and you care about them. But I will say it is hard when you're competing. So how do you balance that? How do you balance being competitive and having a goal and wanting to win, but also holding other people you're competing against as valuable? How do you move past a catty or competitive environment while also staying focused?
Yeah. And I think that's a total transferable life skill too. Not having that sense of threat or competitive feeling or intimidation, like, or a sense of inferiority, like just being open and outward in the way, it's like that verse in Matthew 7:7 that we all know, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find. And it just makes me think what you look for, you will find. What are you looking for? What's your perspective? What do you believe about people? And so just being kind and open to everyone and also not needing to be friends with everyone. It's a sense of having boundaries. So when it comes to pageants, it's like you said, if you're a queen all the time and you operate as if you are the winner, you are the queen, then you're just going to be kind to everyone, but you're also not going to deplete yourself of your resources. Like you don't need to be coaching girls behind stage or giving them all of your things. or your shoes or your earrings. Like if you have some extra ones and it's easy, then do it. But you do need to stay focused on why you're there. So I think it's a matter of like, what's the goal? Like, what is the goal here? You're here to win and also to be kind to people. So I think just keeping your goals in place and having your boundaries and asking yourself, like, is this depleting me? If it's depleting you, like you need to stop. But kindness is never going to deplete you.
Yes, I love that. And it absolutely is a transferable life skill. And calling back to what you were talking about earlier, I think pageantry is so beneficial to every young woman that competes because you're just learning and growing so much. What do you think is the biggest benefit you've gotten out of pageants?
Oh my gosh.
Or you can pick your top three.
I know. I feel like there's honestly so many things. And I love that about pageants. I feel like pageantry is sort of like Girl Scouts, like glamorized, you know, because it's like life skills, but for ladies. One of them, I would say my entrepreneurial, like business skills. Because for me, when I was competing in pageants, my parents didn't have the resources to pay for the entry fees and the gowns and like all the things. So if I wanted to do it, I had to figure out how to like pay for it. I learned how to do trades, you know, so my evening gown, I was sponsored because I did modeling in exchange. Same thing with my swimsuit. I sent out letters in the mail to ask for sponsorships to cover my entry fee. And so I think that really taught a grit and an appreciation for what I was even doing there. And that helps me a lot even today. So that's number one is my business skills. And then number two is just social skills, social and communication. You know, I feel like if you can do a pageant interview, you can do any like job interviews or like cakewalk, like every pageant girl that I've trained. I mean, they get the best jobs, job scholarships, getting into schools that they're looking for. It's like, forget it. I mean, they're going to slay the competition every time.
Absolutely. That was my biggest takeaway. And really the area where I grew the most while I was competing in pageants. I mean, the ability to communicate with people, period, but the ability to communicate in a warm, authentic way where you can truly articulate what you're thinking is invaluable, you know? Okay, so I know you have worked with so many girls. What is something pretty universal that everyone seems to struggle with at some point in their journey?
Usually is in the area of comparison, believing in themselves, not getting in their head. That's number one. And then the second thing is personal branding and getting clear on their message. Like, what is the purpose? Why am I here? What are my messaging points? How do I communicate this in a concise, vibey way? Especially in the Miss USA system where the interview is only 3 minutes. It's like, at first, it sounds like, oh, 3 minutes. That's so easy. But if you don't have a plan and a strategy and like you're clear on your points, though, that 3 minutes is going to fly by and you're going to end up at the end thinking like, oh, shoot, I didn't talk about anything. Yeah. And that's usually what happens. And then girls start like coming to me and they're like, how do I actually like make this 3 minutes effective without being pageanty? Okay. So it's like, that's like the business mindset where you're like, I'm here with a purpose. I have a goal. And I'm also going to connect with you in a really natural, relational, genuine way. Okay. Like that is skills.
That is super. I mean, it's so tough to do. And 3 minutes isn't long. I mean, that's like.
It will fly by if you don't have a plan. And then all of a sudden you talked about goldfish and your favorite color the whole time. And you're like, whoops. Especially in USA, because kind of the purpose is to find a girl who isn't pageanty or they don't seem coached or trained. So they want to bring in judges who are more just like in the community versus in the pageant world.
Yeah. You know, it's tricky because as a judge, you're really wanting to get a sense of who a contestant is. And sometimes it can lack that conversational ease if a contestant tries too hard to control it. So what advice would you give contestants? How do you stay in control without feeling too domineering or too polished or too pageanty?
Well, you do need to have your three main points that you can pull from. So being very clear on what it is you're trying to get across and then understanding how when you personalize something, it will bring you back to your goal or your messaging point almost every time. And personalizing, that's what makes you relatable. It helps you to connect and it helps you as the communicator come alive and to connect with what you're saying.
Yes, that is so smart, personalizing it, because that allows the judges to get to know you, which is what we're trying to do. So I absolutely love that. Okay, so one thing I love to do with everyone that I interview is go through each area of pageantry and just get one quick piece of advice. So if we start with headshots, what would be your number one quick piece of advice?
Please try not to look like an oil painting at the end. I feel like that's just all we see right now is like the oil painting is in, it's like what everyone's going for. But you want to look like yourself. The last thing you want is to walk in the interview room and for the judge to look down at the picture and be like, is this her? Number one, is this her? And then also, oh, wow, she's so much prettier in her picture. Like you're already like not off on a good start. Yeah. So you want to look prettier. I think you want to look prettier in person than you do in your picture.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I think one way to stand out in headshots is to come off as fresh and more natural than looking like an oil painting.
Yes, I could not agree more. Okay, what about application or bios?
That is one of the most important pieces of competing because everything comes from that. And it's an opportunity there for you to do that self-discovery work. Like I remember when I was filling out that stuff, I mean, it makes you reflect. You're like, I don't know, what are my hobbies and interests? So I would say the most important thing, if there was one thing, it would be to only put things on your paperwork that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Don't put some filler stuff because if they ask you the little filler thing that you're like not really that excited to talk about, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You only want to put things on there that when they ask you, you're like, let's go. You're into it.
Yes, exactly. Your application should perfectly set up your interview. Okay. So with that in mind, let's talk about interview. You've already given so much great advice. Anything else you would add?
Well, other than having a strategy and a plan and knowing why you are there, I would say having a mantra right before you walk into the room that is very personal to you that really helps you get into that headspace that you need to be in because there's a lot of things that can go down before you walk in the interview room that you need to have a plan on how you're going to re-anchor yourself, you know? So when you're in the holding room or you're in the hallway and you're like overhearing people talk or someone says something weird to you or you're noticing some odd dynamics, like that stuff can affect you. So you need to have an anchoring phrase for yourself that gets you back in the headspace right before you walk in. And it can be different for everybody because it's going to target what you struggle with. So for me, mine was, I'm so excited for this conversation today. And the reason that was my phrase is because I used to feel nervous for the drill. And so if I was excited, that meant I was relaxed and confident. And if it's a conversation, that lowers the stakes. So that's how I decided mine. But when I'm coaching girls, we identify what their main struggle is and then create a anchoring phrase to hit it.
I love that so much. An anchoring phrase. Okay. What about swimsuit or fitness? I mean, I love the way that swimsuit has changed throughout the years. And I mean, right now it really is so much about being fit. You know, when I was competing, it was so much about being the thinnest. So it's been beautiful to see kind of the evolution. What advice would you have when it comes to swimsuit or fitness?
I think it's important, again, to have fun in the process of preparing. So to see it as, ooh, like I get to look like my ideal self. And then to decide, how do I want to do that? So a lot of people think that because of what they see on social media, you have to train in a certain way. Like you have to go do the weight training in the gym and it has to look like that. But I don't think it necessarily needs to look like that for everyone. I think you should enjoy the process. So for instance, like if I have clients who have a dance background and they love dance, then I'm like, okay, your training should be dance related, like cardio bar or pure bar. And so that way they're having fun with it and they're coming back to what makes them come alive. A childlike part of themselves. And that affects your training and it helps you to sustain it and it helps you to come back alive again. And that's going to come through in the way that you show up in your interview and on stage.
Yes. I mean, I love that in every step of the process, you are calling back to the girls really discovering who they are, what they love, and defining themselves through that. Okay. So how does that translate to evening gown?
So something I love to do that I think is really important with my clients is to discover what is your essence, the essence of you. And there's usually a color that's attached to that. And so when we go through that kind of work, they'll usually choose a gown that is their essence color. And for me, like my essence color is blue. And my gown at Miss USA was white until I got to Miss USA and we were doing our official headshots. Sherry Hill put me in a blue gown. And when I walked out, it was like the energy in the room changed. Everyone gasped and was just like looking at me. And Sherry was like, "You have to wear this gown to compete." And I was like, "No, I can't. Like, you can't switch your gown at Miss USA, you know? And what will my sponsors say? Like, my gown is white. And if you want to win, you have to wear white." And that's kind of what it used to be. It was like the girls who won, it was like white, black, champagne. Now you can wear colors and win. Amazing. So I was like so scared to wear a color that kind of went off that trend. But when I really got into prayer about it and connected with myself, I was like, no, like this is my color. And it's what makes me feel the most radiant. So yeah, I would say that, like, what is the essence of you? And not only like the color, but also the fit and style. So for me, I'm a really like princessy, flowy type of girl. And that also wasn't like a huge thing for Miss USA. Usually gowns back then, it was like you wear sexy, fitted, sheer, low cut gowns. So wearing something flowy and princessy was also a bit of a risk. But I think anytime you are honoring the essence of you, you're going to show up like a queen.
Absolutely. Because it's not about the dress. It is so much about how the girl is showing up. And if you're wearing the essence of you, then you're just going to float across that stage, you know? Okay, now let's talk about what I find to be the absolute worst part of competing in pageants: on stage question.
Oh my gosh, I know. I used to be so scared of on stage question. Wow. Mindset is everything. It's the way you're talking to yourself before you get the question. On stage question for me at Miss USA, I'm so thankful I had this mental training. Otherwise, I would have died, because I was standing there and I just kept telling myself, whatever they ask you is the question you're meant to get. And whatever question you get, you can handle. And I will say the question that I got was not meant for me. So I'm very thankful for the second phrase, which was whatever you get, you can handle. And so the reason why these two meditations in your mind are important is because it has to do with what you can control. You can't control what question you get. And a lot of times we're standing there thinking like, I hope I get this. I hope I don't get that. Or what if I get something I can't answer? Or what if I get something I haven't trained for? It's like, why are you thinking that? Those things are already out of your control. So you might as well tell yourself, whatever you get, you're going to handle it. And that's the key. You're going to handle it. So my question, I knew nothing about, because all the news around it was going down while we were at Miss USA. So I wasn't really keeping up. But the question was, do you think taxpayers' money should go towards corporate bailouts? I was like, say what? And the crowd reacted. They're like, oh, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But it was one of those things. So my strategy here was I made a decision based on how I felt, and I took a risk. Wow, I didn't realize how many risks I took in Miss USA, but I took a risk and I made a decision based on my feeling, which was that doesn't feel good. So I said, no, I don't think taxpayers' money should go towards corporate bailouts. And the audience erupted in cheers. And I was so relieved. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then I just flipped it into the affirmative and talked about where I do think taxpayers' money should go. So instead of getting wrapped up in the weeds of things I don't know about, I answered it with a head-on approach and then talked about what I do know. And I wouldn't necessarily say to a client now to make that big of a risk. I would say to handle something like that, I would say something like, that's a really tricky question. I know it can affect different groups of people in meaningful ways. But what I will say is I do think taxpayers' money should go towards bettering our education and our healthcare system. So I would say to make the head-on answer, that's tricky. Your head-on answer doesn't always have to be an absolute. It just needs to summarize where you're going.
That's tricky. I love that. It humanizes you and it allows the judges to give you, I think, a lot of grace as you answer. That is such wise advice. Okay, you have been so generous with your time and I know you're so busy. So last question. Okay, as a coach, what's one more piece of advice for contestants?
I think it's really important to establish your team. And that team can look different for everyone. So for some girls, they have like a roster, okay, of like seven people, like walking coach, headshots, modeling and runway, interview, branding, social media, like a whole team. Okay. You don't necessarily need that. I think that can be really good, but I think it can feel intimidating to see that that's what a lot of people have on social media. And you're just like, oh my gosh, do I need that to win? Not necessarily. Especially when you have the Pageant Masterclass podcast, hello, just be discerning in who your team is and asking yourself the question, like, are they here for me? How do they make me feel when I'm with them? Do they make me feel like I'm less than and I need to prove myself? If so, they might not be a good person on your team. If they're making you feel small and inferior, that's just, you don't have to do that. Like, I'm honest with my people, but the way you do it and the way you hold space for someone is really important. Yeah. Like, people are traumatized in competing in the pageant industry because of coaches and the way that they're talked to. And so you don't have to do that. There are coaches and people out there who are trained and know how to hold space for you in a way where you're going to grow and it's therapeutic and they're going to be honest with you, but you're not going to feel like worse about yourself after.
Yeah.
That's not why we're here.
Absolutely. We are here to encourage and empower one another. I love that. It is such great advice. Okay. You really have been so generous with your time. Thank you. Before I let you go, will you let everybody know where they can find you and connect with you?
KristenDaltonWolf.com is my website where girls can book sessions with me. Instagram, Kristen J. Dalton, is sort of my main spot. And then I have a few books. The Sparkle Effect is the one that most women use to prepare for a pageant, just getting their spirit, their soul, their mind right and in a really grounded spot. And then I have a devotional called Rise Up Princess that a lot of women use just to enhance their faith journey and to keep them rooted in their royal identity.
Thank you. And seriously, thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome. Good luck with your podcast. I love that you're doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking me.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Okay. You guys, I'm going to put the links to everything Kristen mentioned in the show notes so you can easily connect with her. She's obviously an amazing coach and her book, The Sparkle Effect, really will be an incredible resource for you. And I'm so excited because I have some wonderful guests lined up that are also incredibly insightful and will be beneficial to you and your pageant journey. So be sure to follow along and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And as always, if you're looking for personalized guidance, I'm here to help. You know, I've been where you are and I've been so fortunate to learn so much along the way. So you can find me on Instagram at the Pageant Masterclass or visit us at pageantmasterclass.com. All the info is in the show notes as well. I would love to work with you on creating that undeniable package that lets the judges know you're the queen they're looking for. This has been a Front Row Entertainment production.